We're gonna play on and stand strong with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on. Bump up the volume. It's time to play ball with Drolo and Dibs. Turn the game on.
Good morning and welcome to the championship rounds of Drolo and Dibs here on 95.7 The Game. Great to have you with us for the final hour of the show. 5 minutes from now, we'll be joined by three-time Super Bowl champion Randy Cross on the Reuben Foster disaster. Brian Baldinger coming up in 25 minutes at 9:30. You will hear from Raiders head coach John Gruden right around 9:40, 9:45 this morning. If you want to weigh in, we'd love to hear from you. 888-957-9570, as well as on the Chilton Auto Body text line at 95795. And a quick reminder, tonight is Splash Brothers Bobblehead Night at Oracle. Tickets still available at warriors.com. That's warriors.com. Two Splash Brothers on one bobblehead.
That's incredible. And they've come up with some great bobbleheads over the past 3 or 4 years. I have a whole set of them at home, but no two-headed bobblehead Splash Brothers combo. It's a must-have item, Joe, for the holidays.
Against tonight's Magic, yeah. Cody, very nicely done. It's like Magic against the Magic.
It's well done. If only my mic was on. It would have been very impactful coming from me.
So tonight's Splash Brothers bobblehead night at Oracle. Tickets still available at warriors.com. Anyone here disagree with the decision to move on from Reuben Foster? The team announced yesterday that they will be releasing Reuben Foster. Does anyone think maybe, just maybe, given what happened last time, the victim recanting the story, that maybe, just so maybe, there should be a little bit more patience, or is this is it?
This is it. And they did it because of the agreement they had with Reuben Foster to where he wasn't supposed to see that woman, let alone see her at the team hotel, not on the team floors, but at the team hotel. It was a violation of their trust. And they said so in the statement. They're not concerned, but they're not so fixated on what exactly happened with the details of whether or not he did slap her or whether or not she'll recant again. They didn't even want to get into any of that. They suspended him or they cut him because of a violation of the agreement that they had with him. And because of that, they absolutely had to cut him, and I'm glad they did it so quickly.
If your parents tell you, Joe, when you're back in the day, you're talking about sneaking out, you snuck out, okay, boom, and then they say, yep, we caught you.
You just out me like that?
Well, no, you said it on
air. It's hypothetical.
Yeah, hypothetical, yeah.
A while ago.
Yeah. And you know what? And then you do it again, they say, all right, we're taking the car. Next time you do it, you say, you know what? We're not just taking the car, we're taking your car, we're taking your phone. And you know what? We might even board up the windows. And if you find a way to get out that time, you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to go send you with your uncle. We're going to send you with Uncle Larry to stay. Reuben Foster had plenty of chances. And this wasn't about, this was about him breaking the rules. They said in for Reuben Foster, do not have contact. You guys don't need to be hanging out. This is a bad situation. He agreed. They acknowledged it. These two were supposed to be separated. And still, on a team function, on a road trip, he decides still to put this lady in the same hotel, and he decides to break the commitment, the duty that he had. He agreed with this team, and then he goes out and brings her there and put this organization in a bad light. Now you have John Lynch. You have players after a game, before a game. Now you have them having the distractions, and I think it affected them. There's a guy that guys are putting the microphone in front of him after a loss, after a game, and they're talking about Reuben Foster. He put this organization in a bad light, and the organization didn't fail him. They were behind him. They stayed with him. You had Richard Sherman going to court appearances for him. You had people talking for him. He had guys trying to help him. The organization gave him every opportunity. He chose on a road trip to sit there and when he's not even playing to bring this to the team. I think that the team handled it right. They had no other alternative. Reuben Foster failed them. They did not fail him.
How big of a bust is this? Right now, the fallout is from, you know, the shock of waking up Sunday morning to this news and the fact that the team has moved on so quickly. But when it really settles in, 16 games in just under 2 years, they traded back into the first round to land Reuben Foster. They had picked 34 at the beginning of the second round. They moved up to 31, switched with Seattle, and they gave up a fourth round pick for it, number 111 overall. You got 16 games out of this dude. Like, that... There are very few first-round picks that have produced less, that have been given up on faster. Here's an example. Laquon Treadwell, wide receiver out of Ole Miss,
yep.
23rd overall pick in 2016, the Minnesota Vikings. He has been a bust by every definition of the word. He still has appeared in 36 games in two-plus seasons. 50 passes, 481 yards, one touchdown. That's it for a wide receiver drafted 23rd overall. And he's never really hurt. He can't get on the field. He's not very good. And yet they still have him on the roster. This is year three. He'll probably be back next year for year four, and then they'll part ways. Reuben Foster couldn't even make it to December of year two.
And it wasn't even 16 games in a row, Joe. That's the thing. It wasn't consecutive. And here's what you have to realize. When you're first round, you look at Armstead, with all due respect, and he guys works hard, he's trying. He's still on the team in year four. Even though everyone talked about, there, when you're a first rounder, you are darn near guaranteed 3 years unless you do something.
You have to be a train wreck. You have to be an absolute train wreck.
Look at our boy. Look at DeMarcus Russell. This guy's, he still got 3 years in, and he had syrup, all the different things that you're talking about.
Syrup.
All the different things.
31 games, 25 yes. starts.
Think about that. So when you think about, if you're a first round guy, you usually get opportunity after opportunity. You're not going to get cut. If you keep your nose clean, you're darn near guaranteed 3 to 4 years because the team has so much money invested in you. It's crazy. Crazy, dude.
I think about Justin Blackmon of the Jacksonville Jaguars as another guy who got multiple chances and multiple opportunities. A guy who was a top five pick, and he had one good season and then so much off-field trouble, but he got second chances. He got third chances, and finally he washed out of the league. So it's a shame. It's not a big surprise that this has happened to another player.
Three-time Super Bowl champ, three-time Pro Bowler, former 49ers offensive lineman Randy Cross joining us here on 95.7 The Game. Randy, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you for your time. How was your Thanksgiving?
That was actually really good. Thanks a lot. Just had to have a little early one because I had a game on Friday. But great weekend of football, and can't wait until the rest of this month and next month and January play out. It's going to be a great year.
Absolutely. Let's dive into the biggest story of the day, at least from a 49er perspective, the team parting ways or set to part ways with linebacker Reuben Foster after just 16 total games spread out over an unimpressive two seasons. Do you see this as the team making the right decision here?
I think absolutely. This is a purely 100% self-inflicted circumstance that Reuben Foster found himself in. You know, it'd be nice if you could go into the draft and do evaluation with a crystal ball. And I guess, you know, maybe the one putt thing he had before the draft might have dissuaded some teams from taking a chance. But I think if you eliminate every single player, you know, with any kind of a glitch, you're going to have a pretty low field of applicants. But I think absolutely, especially when you look at the context of, you know, three different domestic violence situations in a fairly brief period of time, that's not even a tough decision to make. That's something, you know, you've got to separate yourself from.
Considering where we are in society now and Reuben Foster's situation, do you think he gets another shot with another team, or is this the end of his career as we know it?
I think somewhere down the road, once he cleans up his legal situation, when it comes to this, I believe that's just sort of the nature of the beast. And I think people are that tone deaf that they will, you know, take other chances and ignore other things that have happened. He's going to have to go through some counseling. He's going to have to go through some soul searching, obviously. Because like I said, this is not something, you know, I personally don't chalk this up to societal woes or any other PCBS. You know, this is 100% something that you have to carry as a person, and you are 100% accountable for.
Well said.
As an individual.
Well said. I couldn't agree with you more. Let's talk about things that you can control, and that's on the field productivity. The Niners yesterday struggled. What you see there, you saw the quarterback inconsistency, holding on to the ball, three-step drops, defense, you know, against an offense that Jameis Winston has been going from starter to being suspended, all the different things surrounding that Tampa Bay team who with only three wins at the time. What did you see and what did you observe?
Yeah, I kind of hurts my heart in a lot of ways. to have seen them look so good towards the end of last year, and there'd be so much promise for this year, and for this year to sort of be the dull splat that it has turned into. I do believe between the draft and some of the current personnel, this is still going to be a good team going forward. But, you know, just as you couldn't judge Mullen by what he did the first game, you can't necessarily judge him just on what he did, you know, yesterday. It's a gigantic process when it comes to playing in this league. And, you know, I think we all sort of tend to forget, you know, if the guy's not a long-term starter, then he's a complete failure. Well, no, not really. You know, you've got to have those backups. You got to have those guys around that have that so-called, you know, that dreaded French word potential, also known as not worth a damn yet. But, yeah, I was as disappointed as anybody else. And what really disappoints me probably more than anything else is sort of that attention to detail and the discipline that you always kind of expect, you know, out of a team that's going to be good.
Sure.
If you're not quite at good yet. You know, that's the kind of thing you've got to strive to.
So what do you do here in this situation, Randy? You know who C.J. Beathard is. You know who Mullins is. You got to see a little bit of a glance of both of these guys. Cal Shanahan, as a leader of this team and as the head coach, where do you go from here? Which one of these guys, young men, do you start?
You go with whoever gives you the best chance, and that's a cliche, but that's a reality. And that's why Kyle and Lynch make the big bucks, and that's why they're sitting in the big chairs. Because not only do they make those decisions, the responsibility for those decisions, you know, rests squarely in those seats. So whoever short term is giving you that best chance, that's who you go with. And if that doesn't work out, you go to plan B and you play the other guy. And you hope it's something that works out. But right now it's, you know, there's an old saying about, you know, you got two hands and you hope in one of them. But, you know, it's Jimmy G is your guy. Jimmy G is your future. And you hope that, you know, rehab's going well and that this is a significantly different offense when he gets back on the field next year. Because you only have to look at teams, you know, like the Rams and like the Chiefs and people like that. You can tell you what a difference, you know, a good quarterback makes, especially a good young quarterback, especially in the league these days. Because, you know, we're in a whole new era now. Because the old days of, you know, the spread offense is a college gimmick, those days are gone. Because, you know, if you watch college and you watch some of these other games in the NFL, it's about scoring. It's about spreading. And it's about spreading the ball out and being a guy that can really just enable other players on the offensive side.
Three-time Super Bowl champ Randy Cross joining us here on 95.7 The Game. If you go back and you look at the 2017 draft class for John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, it's starting to look pretty bleak. Solomon Thomas with just one sack this season. Reuben Foster's gone. Akello Witherspoon has been victimized repeatedly at the cornerback position. C.J. Beathard lost his job to a practice squad quarterback. Joe Williams was cut. George Kittle has played very well. And then you work your way through the list. How important is this next draft going to be for Lynch and Shanahan? Because the fans have done a nice job with their patience, but they can only take so many blows before they eventually start to look around and lose faith in the leadership.
Yeah, I can see that, and I can understand the frustration. I've always considered the draft, personally, a coin flip. So if you can have that kind of percentage, if you can go 50-50, you're doing pretty good. Now, if you get a draft where suddenly you're hitting on 15%, 20% of your draft class, you know, that's officially a failure. And you can't afford more than one, maybe two of those in any kind of a 3 or 4 year period. Because then it's going to start affecting your depth. It's going to start affecting the quality of the talent on your team. But it puts more of an emphasis on free agency, puts more emphasis on not only your rookie free agency, but your veteran free agency. It's going to be a huge offseason for everybody involved. But it's pretty obvious that Jed York and that whole front office really believes in the two guys in charge, in John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, because they got the contracts when they were first brought in that reflects that kind of confidence and reflects that kind of, you know, that sort of a vote. So the fans can think what they will, but it's the people that are cashing the checks that really really matter when it comes right down to it.
And do they really not feel any effect of it, the organization that is, until people decide to stop showing up? And at this point, for the 49ers in their rebuild, can you see that fans are starting to get frustrated, or should they have more patience that this thing is going to start turning in the right direction?
Well, it'd be nice if people didn't get hurt. It'd be nice if they were if they had 100% participation of the guys they've signed and the guys they've drafted. But, you know, that's just not reality, not only reality for their 2018, but reality in general. Patience is something that is 100% either held off by winning or augmented by winning. And if you don't win, you can't expect patience. That just is not going to happen. And I 1,000% would sit with the fans and say, and they got every right to be, A, mad, and B, let people know about it. But, you know, it's are they going to be saying, are you going to have to say, hey, if they're not in the stands, then something has to be done? Well, you got to have a little longer view than that. But if that's something that holds up for a couple of years, then it's got to be addressed.
Absolutely. Randy, how do you assess George Kittle? When you look at Kittle and you think about what his productivity at the tight end, is this a flash in the pants? Is this guy, is he the real deal? And how do you judge that?
Well, I think it's 100% a misjudgment by everybody else involved. It's kind of like the Brady philosophy. You know, when everybody says, oh, we missed on him. Well, everybody missed on him, you know, for 5-6 rounds. So, yeah, and the same with Kittle. Everybody missed on his potential as a tight end. But Kyle Shanahan's system is made to take advantage of those kind of talents out of a tight end. It's kind of what they've been missing in the Atlanta offense since he's been gone, because the tight ends and the running backs can really power this offense. And you've seen when you've had health at the running back position, you know, how much different that offense flows. So, yeah, I think it's great for Kittle, and I wouldn't give, you know, too much of a flash in the pan sort of a take on this. I would say you've got a guy that's got great talent that people missed on who happens to be sitting in a really advantageous program.
Three-time Super Bowl champ, three-time Pro Bowler, and former 49ers offensive lineman Randy Cross joining us here on 95.7. The game. Randy, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you so much for the insights. Be well, and hopefully we can do it again soon.
All right, guys. No problem. My pleasure.
A lot of people, naturally, are going to look at the 2017 and 2018 NFL drafts on behalf of the Niners. They're going to scratch their heads. They're going to think there were a lot of misses, and that maybe, just maybe, the front office isn't going to figure this thing out. Nobody hits at a high rate on this thing. I was going back through this, and the Niners have a ton of misses, don't get me wrong. But you go through so many picks year in, year out, that are just misses. I remember the one that always will stand out, Aaron Curry, the pass rusher out of Wake Forest. In that draft, he was regarded by everyone as the one can't miss. It's like, well, you know, if you don't like this option, Curry's the guy that won't miss. Curry's a great – Curry was the biggest miss of the entire draft. And then it got me thinking, is this process – something that can be improved upon? Can you take modern scouting and the way teams go about it, and can you make it better? Can you make it more efficient? Or has this reached its peak efficiency level? The answer is no. It has so much room for growth, it is embarrassing. Case in point, go to the Niner website. And the Niners aren't different than anyone else. Most websites will say this. You go and you look under team, and then you go to front office, and they'll list all the scouts. There are 10 individuals listed on the website that handle college scouting. There's a director of college scouting, 2 national scouts, 5 area scouts, and 2 regional scouts. Now, there are some pro personnel scouts as well, but those individuals are watching players on other NFL teams. So you've got 10 guys scouting college players. There are 130 FBS schools. There are 124 FCS schools. That does not count Division III or a lot of JUCO programs or all that stuff. So 254 schools are being covered by 10 guys. 25.4 schools per guy. That is inefficient. Scouts don't make a lot of money, and there's no salary cap on scouts. Why not be the first team in the NFL to make a serious financial commitment to scouting? Now, there are these national scouting services that are out there that you can pay six figures to, and they'll give you their reports. Newsflash, everyone's paying for those. So you get no leg up on the competition. If all 32 teams are reading from the same scouting report, what information do you have that's different than anyone else's? Nothing. You're just throwing money down the toilet. Why not hire more scouts? Why not dump $1 or $2 million per year into your scouting department and go from 10 scouts to 20 scouts or 25 scouts? Imagine if you had the ability to cover all these schools, but in a more efficient manner. Lo, if I go to dinner with you one time versus going to dinner with you five times, am I going to know more about you as a person through one encounter or five?
Five, of course.
You would think. Basic math. Yet for some reason, teams, I don't want to say cheap out on scouting, but they don't put enough into it. Right. I mean, there it is. It's an area of the game that can be improved. This is a total crapshoot.
Unless you're like me and Daniel Dibley, that we went to dinner one time.
One
in Vegas
time is all it took.
And I was able to read everything
all
about
took
him.
For what?
Just for me to be able to just read him, because we got so deep.
But you didn't know all my red flags. And had the Niners maybe had dinner with Reuben Foster five times instead of one time, maybe you then determine that the guy does not have all his ducks in a row and you don't make that pick.
Fortunately, we're all out of time for the Vegas dinner talk, but I do appreciate you guys sharing that with us.
I was going somewhere.
It's lovely.
Well,
unfortunately, we're never going to get there. Brian Baldinger's next here on 95.7 The Game.
Don't miss the last game of the homestand as Bay Area native Aaron Gordon and the Orlando Magic come to Oracle looking to knock off the champs.
Off the screen, Durant for three. He's got it left side. Draymond Green with that high screen.
Coverage starts today with Warriors Live at 6. Tip off at 7:30 on the home of the NBA champs. 95.7. The Game. Joe Low and Dibs continues on Monster Monday. Brought to you by Oaks Card Club, FH Daily Chevrolet, and Benjamin Moore Paints.
Our apologies for Anna's fake news.
Uh-oh.
Baldinger canceled on us.
Oh.
So it's fake.
Would have been nice to know that.
It literally happened as you were saying it, and it's like the timing on that is just... She's going, Brian Baldinger's up. Brian Baldinger just canceled.
I know. Mm-hmm. It was a great tease, too. You sold it. The audience was on the edge of its collective seat. They were ready for Baldy, but alas, it won't happen.
I'm not sure it's a great tease when I'm like, Brian Baldinger's up next. That's really all the tease was.
She gave it a nice little lift.
Her tease.
Oh, yeah. Yours, it was a tune-out. Anna's was great. It was bubbly. It was effervescent.
That's what I do.
I was fired up for it, and then you had to wet blanket it.
Baldinger canceled.
I could have pretended to be Baldinger and asked myself questions, but...
That's a great question, Dan. That's John Morosi. But anyway.
You'll hear from John Gruden in about 6 minutes. The Reuben Foster situation is just starting to sort itself out. I mean, the fallout for the Niners here, it's been nothing but bad PR this year.
And
you stack up all the bad news, the McKinnon injury, the Garoppolo injury, Reuben Foster. It just keeps adding up. Losing the game at Green Bay... Losing the game yesterday, getting blown out, what may have been the worst loss of the Kyle Shanahan era. Short era, but the bad PR continues to mount. Now, I don't think anyone with a reasonable mindset thought this team was going to be able to flip the switch overnight. What compounds the problem is when teams like the Rams flip the switch overnight. You're seeing it around the NFL every single year. One or two teams come out of left field and suddenly start playing really good football. The Jacksonville Jaguars were like this last year. The Browns are kind of like this year. Yeah. Same with the Colts.
Yeah.
Colts. So you start thinking, why not us? Well, the problem is years of bad drafting.
Yeah.
And now here we are where this team has got to find a way to put one in the win column. And I'm not talking from a win perspective. I want that number one pick. But you got to have some positive PR, and I just don't know where that's going to be coming from.
You're absolutely right, Joe. And not just that, just the injury bug has just killed this team. Jimmy Ward breaks his forearm. The running back from Purdue was playing hell of having some huge runs, broke his arm. I mean, you think about all the injuries this team has had from guys that you were stepping up, that's have an opportunity to play, and now Reuben Foster, a guy that you drafted in the first round, no longer with this team, no longer with this organization, and that was the big thing is about that. If that's something that this team backed, they backed him and they were behind him. You brought in veteran guys, all kind of guys to try to help surround him with leadership, and he still blows it. So when you think about what's going on with the organization, it does look bad. And hopefully we can get behind it after this year, get this behind you and start drafting in the right direction. You have an opportunity to right this ship, because if you have your quarterback in Jimmy G and now you're picking first or number two, you have an opportunity to get a huge overhaul, because you don't need a quarterback. You just hope that these quarterbacks are going to be very, very sought after. And now teams like the Giants and teams like Tampa Bay, teams like, you know, Jacksonville are going to be able to jump up and give up a boatload of draft picks in order for the Niners to get where they need to get. So John Lynch and Shanahan, they both understand the importance of hitting on the draft, especially the draft, because you have control for the next 4 to 5 years if you draft right.
I mean, one of the underlying stories that isn't being discussed with all this is that now that Foster's gone, linebacker is right back on the priority list. Right back on the priority list. The one saving grace here was that, all right, you know, if Ruben can stay healthy, along with Fred Warner, linebacker might be solved. You might be in pretty good shape there. It's right back on the list. You need a pass rusher. Now you need another linebacker. Now you need corners as well. You need safeties. You probably need some wide receivers. You can always use help with the offensive line.
That's why you hope that this draft, that you hope that you're picking number one, for you can trade back, like you're talking about, get more chips.
And the Raiders have 3 first-round picks. So if they're a team that really desperately wants a quarterback, which they might need a quarterback depending on how the Gruden Carr thing works out, they might be willing to try to come up and take your number one and trade for it, which would set up a marketplace where other teams could come in and maybe offer you more or offer you a comparable deal, and you end up trading and getting more picks. Because if you're the Niners, of your starting 22, if we looked at the 11 on offense and the 11 on defense, we could easily say they need 11 of the 22 players changed out, either free agency or via the draft.
And there's another guy, Joe. Well, here's another position that we're not talking about that they still need some help, and it's running back position. Even if McKinnon comes back, I'm not saying you're going to draft him in the first round, but which guy on that team is a hammer? Name me a guy that is a chain mover on that team. You look at Breida, you look at McKinnon, those guys, hell yeah, they can get out and they can run great out of the backfield. But name me one of those guys that is a great short yardage runner. Name one of those guys who are going to run over a guy and get 4 yards in a cloud of dust.
They needed that on the goal line yesterday.
I'm still waiting. Exactly.
Juszczyk? Can Juszczyk be that guy?
Juszczyk is no.
Or is it too obvious?
I just don't think that he has the kind of hips and he's that type of guy in that type of situation. Juszczyk's a great pass block. He's a great blocker. He's a great guy out of the backfield. But far as just saying he's going to get me 4 yards and just a downhill runner, that's just not who he is.
See, for the Niners, especially the Lynch Shanahan tandem, year one was all about the rebuild / optimism. It's like, okay, the John Lynch thing kind of came out of left field. Didn't even know he wanted to be a GM. Know him from the broadcast, but okay, so Lynch is going to be the GM. Kyle Shanahan is a bright young play caller. Father had a lot of success in the NFL. We can get behind this. This is a good tandem. Maybe things are getting settled. And you knew the first year was going to be a struggle, but then they traded for Garoppolo. He comes in, wins the final 5 games, and suddenly you're sitting there going, all right, maybe we got something cooking. Now you're coming in the year two, and naturally all of our expectations are overinflated. We probably went too far with it, but you're thinking playoffs, you're thinking maybe 8-8, teams on the right track, spent some money, Weston Richburg, Jerick McKinnon, some more draft picks are coming in. Boom, Garoppolo gets hurt, the whole thing falls apart. The Reuben Foster debacle, big black eye for the organization. So now going into year three, it's not going to be a lot of optimism. People are going to want to be optimistic, but they're going to be very cautious, and they're going to be looking at you with suspicion now. This offseason is going to be huge. This thing turned in a hurry. This honeymoon phase, it was looking good. The Garoppolo thing had them moving in the right direction, and now it's like, well, Garoppolo's coming back. How excited can you get about that? He's off the knee. All everyone's going to talk about, well, we'll see how he responds. He's coming off an ACL. Same thing with McKinnon. I don't know if you're going to spend a ton of money on a high-priced free agent, but you might need to get people excited about something. And you're going to need to make a splash in the draft. You're going to need to be able to sell this offseason, because if things go salty next year early on, now everyone's going to be calling for people's jobs. That's where it's going to get dicey.
I think that if you look for a high-priced free agent kind of signing, it's going to be a wide receiver. Because the one thing that you haven't had this year offensively, the running back, you lost McKinnon, but Breida's been pretty darn solid. He's looked good. The tight end's been good. The fullback in the passing game is legit. You don't have a wide receiver. And I don't think you want to spend a high pick on a wide receiver. So for me, if you're going to have one big-ticket item in free agency, if it's not pass rusher, it's got to be a playmaking wide receiver.
John Gruden's press conference is brought to you by Three Dimensional Services Group. Three Dimensional Services, prototype, production, proven. Here's the head coach of the Oakland Raiders, John Gruden.
Very disappointed, obviously, with a loss. I'll answer any questions that I can.
How is that, Derek, when he got off the field, obviously came back from something like that, how was he able to do?
He's okay. He's okay. Took some shots, obviously. We fall behind two scores. We have to pass protect better when we have to pass protect, when everybody knows we have to pass protect. And a problem all year is a problem today. And, you get in a predictable passing situation, we got to rise up and do better. Credit to Judon. Judon's going to be a heck of a player. Doggone Judon.
At the end of the first half, was Derek pulled off the field by the upstairs?
Yes. Yes, he was. Yes.
The first two defensive drives of the second half, I think those two touchdown drives together with 30 plays, both of those were rushes. What did you see from the Ravens in terms of how they controlled the game? I know it's been a bit of a problem starting off the second half for your defense.
Yeah, they didn't make it real complicated. You know, they got a great, I think, future Hall of Fame guard, Yonda. They probably called on their captain, and they said, hey, we're going at these guys, and that's what they did. And when you can establish the run, the inside run, the perimeter offense, all the bells and whistles with Jackson off of it are very hard to defend. You got to stop the inside run, or you have no chance to stop everything else, the bootlegs, the perimeter tosses, the options. They took over the game. Credit to them.
From your initial read, I think Derek's almost 20 incompletions. Does that lie more on him, or did you see some drops?
Well, we had two big offensive pass interference penalties in the first half. One of them backed up on Seth Roberts. One of them going in on Jared Cook. I thought those were big impact calls in this game. The Ravens played a lot of tight coverage. We had some opportunities to make plays. We didn't make them. I know Marcel dropped one early. We challenged a play later. We just didn't make the plays against a very good defensive team that needed to be made today, and it goes back to me.
Touchdown to Crabtree. There was a big cushion. Was that a miscommunication on that play?
I don't understand it. I have to look at it. Nick Nelson, obviously, is in the game, and we'll have to take a look at it. But credit Crabtree.
Can you please put yourself in your
secondary? Yeah, I was good. I was good. Anytime you get turnovers in the territory where we got them, it was good. I was pleased with a lot of things. The way we started the game on offense, the way we came out in the second half and scored a touchdown against a great defense. We just haven't been able to put four quarters together, and goes back to me, honestly.
What did you make of the punt team today, obviously, the return?
That's disappointing. You give up 75-yard punt return, a 75-yard pass to a tight end. You can't get off the field stopping the inside running game, and can't protect when you have to. Those are the storylines to me. Those are things I got to figure out. And until we do, we're going to have a lot of long faces.
You guys all set?
Well, last series, was there any thought of Matt and Carr go back in there? Like, come off
yeah, I was thinking about putting AJ in, but Derek was fine. And he wants to finish with his teammates. And there's a certain there's a certain responsibility I think you have as a coach to let your quarterback, your captain of your team, finish the deal with the rest of his teammates, no matter how it gets. All right, guys. Sorry, guys.
John Gruden's press conference was brought to you by Three Dimensional Services Group. Three Dimensional Services, prototype, production, proven.
You guys all set? He answered two questions.
It was fast.
I mean, that's, you're in a situation where your season's an absolute disaster. Do we have more questions than that? I'm sure the media members do. You're being pressed. You're being given the bum's rush. Your team is an absolute disaster. Stand up there and answer questions and give the fans a sense for exactly what's going wrong instead of talking about Judon. That Judon, he's got to go. I mean, come on, coach. Give us more than that. That's embarrassing, Joe.
It was a boating.
Well, stand up there and answer questions about the boating. Why do you continue to get boated? Are you deep down, are you a skipper? Is this Gilligan's Island? Why do you continue to get boated? Just the whole thing, the press conference. I know we play it and we want to hear from the head coach, but he's not giving you anything.
Did anyone ask about Lamar Jackson? Like that, Did anyone? What do you think about Lamar Jackson? Let's get a head coach on the record with what he thinks about the potential of the guy who's going to be taking over for Joe Flacco. Anyone realize Joe Flacco's losing his job? Super Bowl winning quarterback is going to be ushered out the door in Baltimore. That's what's happening here. Yeah. That's a storyline from that game yesterday.
Yeah, it's interesting just listening. Like you talked about Dibs, John, and where is he going? What, you know, I hear him always talking about, hey, well, we got to stop. You heard him talk about yesterday. We got to stop a team from running inside. If we can't stop them from running inside, then outside everything else is going to work. And we have to stop that. We didn't stop it. We're going to continue to answer these questions. Well, you're the head coach, and you're going to answer these questions, but head coach have to also make adjustments and try to stop it or get players in that can stop it. So right now the cupboards are bare. You look at certain guys at what John has brought in and how many guys he's ushered off. He's changing this. He's changing this whole face of the Oakland Raiders. I think that you look at what John's doing. He doesn't want necessarily Reggie's guys. And you can say what you want. And you watch the way that some of these guys are playing that are Reggie's guys. Some of them aren't playing great, but some of them are playing pretty well. If you look at the safety, Carlos Joseph, the guy's putting his nose in there. He's hitting guys. He's causing. I think this guy is a starter. But yet and still, John couldn't even. They didn't even want to play him, Joe.
It's because of what happened in Tampa. He won a Super Bowl, and as soon as you mention that Super Bowl, everyone goes, he did it with Dungy's guys. He does not want to risk winning another Super Bowl with other people's talent because then he won't get the credit. That's what I think some of this is rooted in. If he goes out there and the team plays well, these are all Reggie's guys. Del Rio drafted these guys. It's the same thing he's been hearing for what? 15, 16 years since he won the Super Bowl in Tampa. Everyone says the same thing. Well, you did it with Dungy's guys. What happened after Dungy's guys?
It's so many rumors and stuff that are out there. Some people say, Dibs, that here's a guy that didn't get his money from Oakland. He says, okay, I'm getting my money. I'm doing what I want to do. I'm winning. You guys traded me, didn't win all this stuff. You know, is he, how much did he take it personal? There's all kinds of things that are being said about John Gruden and what is he doing with this organization that he's like, all right, I got the last laugh. You guys ran me out. I'm drafting. I'm in charge of this thing. And it's nothing you can do about it because I got $100 million.
He got $100 million last laughs. And that's the thing is a 10-year, $100 million deal reportedly. I mean, where's the feet to the fire? When do you get on the, quote, hot seat?
Your most comfortable contract in the history of sports.
Year seven, you're finally in the hot seat because, oh, only 3 years left. They may not renew him. Maybe he's on the hot seat now. Give me a break. The whole thing's a disaster.
One thing that was amazing about yesterday's game as you're watching this, Baltimore and John Harbaugh, and this is why Harbaugh finds himself on the hot seat, they come out with this game plan where they're going to throw the ball everywhere, and they find themselves in a game, and Lamar Jackson throws two interceptions. They come out in the second half, and the book on the Raiders is very simple. Just run.
Run them.
Just run him. You don't have to do anything elaborate to beat the Raiders. Just run the ball against them. And do you see what happened?
They just motorboated their way down
the field and plowed through the Raiders in the second half. That's it. No physical toughness, no ability to stop anything. They just ran it down their throat. And then it's like, oh, hey, maybe if you did this in the first half, you take a little pressure off Jackson, you build yourself a lead, you win comfortably.
Row, row, row your boat, right? Gently down the field, because that's exactly what they did.
Speaking of Harbaughs, I got to ask you, your boy Jim.
I was going to ask you, actually, which Harbaugh has a hotter seat right now?
John. John's done in Baltimore. That's the end.
Jim went to the horseshoe, and he got smacked around. He gave up a 60-piece to the rival, and again, they're not going to the playoff, and again, he disappointed. So I'll ask you again, Joe.
It's still John, because I think John's done at the end. That situation has gotten stale. He's trying to save his job with Lamar Jackson. He's trying to do the, well, wait a minute. You got your new quarterback. It looked pretty good at the end, but it's such a small sample size. Let me have another year with him. Jim, they're not going to go anywhere, because Michigan's still been better with Jim than they have been with other teams.
So if Jim gets boated in the Alamo Bowl, he gives up a 50-piece to Texas Tech or whoever, doesn't matter.
Nothing that happens moving forward matters. Michigan is completely irrelevant from this point forward this season. He's now 0-4 against Ohio State. I understand here college football doesn't mean as much as other places.
Right.
That is the most damning thing on his resume right now.
It is.
Doesn't matter that he hasn't been to the playoff. You are 0-4 against Ohio State. You just got 62 hung on you in that game.
And not against a good team.
And you were the favorite rolling in. That team had just gotten, their defense looked like crap against Maryland. And clearly it looks like Urban Meyer was just playing you for a sucker.
Purdue put up 40 on Ohio State. Not to disparage Purdue, they played an unbelievable game. But if you're Michigan and you're really a top four team in the country, you don't give up a 60-piece to the Buckeyes.
Ohio State can't play defense. And Harbaugh's game plan was pathetic. He came out with the ball, and the first thing they did was run it. They picked up 8 yards. It was like, this is what you're going to do.
Just
cram it down their throat and break their will. Then he goes pass, pass, incomplete, incomplete, punt. Ohio State drives down the field, touchdown. And you're sitting there and it's like, why did you get off the plan? This
make
whole
it physical,
idea of
beat
we're
going to
be tough, we're going to run power. That's not college football anymore, buddy. You need RPOs. You need jet motion. You're running this archaic old school offense and you just watched a new age college football offense crush you. Mm. And now yet again, you're left to wonder, well, maybe next year in the Big House, we'll be able to get him. Quickly. Speaking of Bodings.
Oh, boy.
We've got a hell of a comeback in the making. Low versus Dibs this weekend. Low, 12-2. Dibs, 10-4. Two solid weekends. However, for those who have been tracking, Low picks up two more games. Tonight, there's a split. Low is on the Titans, who are in Houston to take on the Texans. Dibs has the favorite in the Texans, who are 4-point favorites. If Low can win this game, Dibs' lead is down to 2.
Oh, boy.
Down to 2. How you feeling?
Man, don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
Easy, LL.
That's exactly what you should do. You should start talking and just getting all out of
it. No, you know what? You know, it was
mush.
Sometimes you get the bear, sometimes the bear gets you. Yesterday was a good day and had a good day, so I'm just going to keep plugging along, Joe, and just keep plugging along. And Texans, I don't know. This is Texans. They got a lot going on. They got heavy hearts. They lost their owner's heart. You know, our thoughts and prayers with
Bud Adams.
The Houston Texans lost owner.
Not Bob McNair.
Not the Titans, the Oilers. The Oilers, right. Well, so they're playing with a heavy heart tonight. So that is Dibs is on. He's probably on the right horse. He's got a good one.
Either way, you own the dictation next week. You get to pick who goes first.
Yeah, I believe there's a third straight week he's getting me. And I was joking with you about reverse Rocky before. I'm the champ. I'm playing the role of Apollo Creed here, and you're Rocky. You're down early, but you're coming back. You keep swinging hard from the left.
Is that a race joke?
No, it's a thing about the side. I'm left-handed, but I'm not Rocky this time.
What's the coach, Joe, that you always say, but what are they doing when they should be all they're up instead of just putting their foot on the, you know, and just like knocking them out like the coach Green Bay at times.
Oh, McCarthy.
You're like McCarthy.
Andy Reid throttles back a little too often.
And he's pulled a little Andy Reid. He's starting
to dance it on your behalf before we even got the
in my defense, you try putting a foot on that throat. I would need both my feet on his throat and still I wouldn't be able to stomp him out.
It's like a log.
Seriously. Things like a tree stump. Isn't that right, Steven?
Oh. Steven's paying no mind. He's got you on paying no mind right now.
Steven's not really a fan.
No,
he's not one of the billions. He works on the show, but he's not one of the billions.
He's already trying to get a guest for the pregame show in January.
All right. Steiny and the Guru will be coming up next. Cam Inman will join them at 11 o'clock. It was great to be back in the saddle today.
Was it, Joe?
For
was
all
it?
Of you who are coming off the Thanksgiving weekend, we thank you for joining us today. For Dibs, Anna, and Lo, I'm Joe. We'll see you tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. right here on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, it's KD from the Golden State Warriors. Listen to Warriors Action tonight, and then your boys Joe, Lo, and Dibs tomorrow starting at 6 a.m. on the radio home of the Golden State Warriors. 95.7, The Game.